Hot 1027 Business with Michael Avery.
Well, Afromat released their final results today, and joining me to talk through these is Colin Ramokobati. He is an executive director with Afromat. Firstly, Colin, thank you very much for joining me this evening. Maybe let's give us quickly your general impression on the results, just at a glance.
Yeah, thank you, Corey, and good evening to your listeners. Yeah, I think as a leadership team or company, we are quite pleased with our results. Obviously, all the three sectors of our business has really performed well. We know that the bioproducts has been doing so well, which has been obviously supported by the higher iron ore price. But also, we are quite pleased that the anthracite asset that we bought has now 10 positive in the last financial year. And also another asset which we added on, which is Jenkins for the iron ore, has also started contributing positively the previous financial year, which then sort of augur well for that bulk commodity business. And then in terms of the construction material and industrial minerals, we also saw both businesses going back exactly spot bang on the pre-COVID numbers. So from that point of view, we're quite pleased. We obviously would like to see that those businesses doing better than that because there's so much backlog in our country in terms of infrastructure and roads and projects and all the like.
Maybe for the listeners that might not be familiar with the Afromat results, I'll quickly run through those. Group revenue was up 26.7%, operating profit margin up 23.7%, headline earnings up 22.9%, final dividend there of R1.46, return on net operating assets of 33%, and then net debt to equity ratio of 12.1%. I mean, there's in these numbers, obviously, it's a post-COVID period as well, but it also shows that there's been very decent management by the Afromat team. I suppose it's also not a new thing. It's been happening for quite a long period of time.
Yes, Corey, I think, again, if you look at our headline earnings growth, since 2008, we've actually been growing at over 22%. So even if you add COVID along the way, we are, again, still quite pleased in those kind of performances. As I said, we have seen our industrial mineral and construction material improving their profit margin, which has done well. Then the final dividend that you mentioned of 146, again, it's another 25% increase from the previous one, which gave a total of 186. So all the numbers are on the right direction. The only number that has gone the wrong direction probably is net debt to equity, which in end of February sitting at 12%, but it's for the reasons. You know, we've spent money in the right places. You will know that there's new opportunities that we've ventured into. We've bought again over assets which we had to pay about 216 for a stockpile there, which obviously affected that, and we ramped up a whole lot of other assets like Ngomati, like we said. We've spent money on Jenkins to get going. And there's also other small areas or assets like AgriLime that we've just spent money on. So, but we are pleased that we are generating cash faster than we would like to, which that number is coming down nicely.
Tell me, I mean, the past strategy of Afromat was always that of acquisitions, bolting on various acquisitions, and then obviously that adding to the overall growth of Afromat. That certainly was the past. If you look towards the future, there's certainly been some of that happening during this period. But do you still see that as a strategy for Afromat going forward?
We still see that as a long-term strategy, although in the next year or two, our focus will be mainly on these two assets, which is Gravenhage and Glen Over. So just to give you numbers which we have shared with you, I mean, Glen Over will require a capital of up to 1.2-1.3 billion, and then Gravenhage probably up to 1.4-1.5. So this is going to require huge capital, those two assets, and we're just wanting to make sure that we execute them well, and we don't want to spread all our resources thin. And so we are probably going to be focusing on the new acquisitions. But at the same time, we do have our business development team who's always looking for opportunities. You know? So for stuff that might be required in 3 or 4 years' time, we need to start looking at them now. You know, and also, there might be small opportunities that come along the way, which we will definitely take advantage of that.
The projects that you're talking about, I think in the results you guys talk about those as what we call long life projects, so ones that should, I suppose, pay off over long periods of time. You talk about the large capital equipment or capital commitment that it's going to be taking. How does that get funded? Is that how does that debt get raised?
So obviously, firstly, I mean, as I've said, we're generating cash quicker, which we will use our reserves as much as we can. And we are considering alternatives later down the line. I know that our target debt to equity ratio is 25%, so we wouldn't like to go too much above that. And at the moment, we are considering various options, but we don't need all that capital now at the moment. So hence, we are still trying to consider various options of how to raise that capital.
Mm. I remember days when iron ore made up wasn't even in the product mix for Aframat. It was mostly just an aggregate business. Today, iron ore makes up over 74% of group results, which is absolutely astounding. A couple of years ago, there were certainly challenges trying to make sure that the iron ore business worked properly inside Aframat. Have all those been ironed out, and what other challenges do you guys see in the iron ore market?
So, Kobe, I think that shows you our diversification strategy at work, because we will obviously continue looking at all, those various businesses, and they all are cyclical, if I may say. So, iron ore, 2015, that's when we entered the space, and I mean, we had to learn as we get into that industry, and we're obviously being helped by the iron ore price in the last couple of years. And we've also now acquired more assets in that area where we've now increased the life of those mines to longer. And also, apart from that, like I said, we're now into manganese and we're now into anthracite. So that's how we really look into that. And iron ore, I must say, it's running smoothly. We are busy ramping up Jenkins, which is our latest asset. We're now ramping it to produce about 1.25 million tons of iron ore to our inland market. And that's going well on target, and we're hoping by June, July, we'll be at that level, and then we'll be running at a steady state and use our weight.
In a country where jobs are being lost, I suppose, all the time, I mean, Aframat created 500 jobs, for people that are obviously in great need of those. That gives you a staff complement of 2,500 individuals now across the country working in the aggregates business or in the iron ore business or any of these new life, these long life projects that we spoke about a little bit earlier on. It's becoming a big business. It's no longer a small business. And if it continues to grow like this, the size of Aframat will just obviously exponentially then just continue to increase. Is staffing becoming more difficult? How do you manage staff, with more and more people joining all the time?
Korea, I think you will see, we always talk about our culture as our it gives us a core advantage, competitive edge in what we do. And you're right that we are growing the employees at a rapid rate, but we really carefully select who joins us. We need people who will live our values the way we believe, and we do really empower our people. We trust them. We equip them. We skill them. We really work hard on that so that whoever joins Aframat, they enjoy being with the company, they're engaged, and they contribute, to the bottom line. And so far, we've managed to do that well. Obviously, there is some one or two areas that we struggle with some skills, especially as we are growing into other minerals that you find in some remote areas, it's sometimes difficult to attract talent or skills in those areas. But we are doing our best to also bring our talent from internally.
Well, that was Colin Ramokobati. He's an executive director with Aframat, looking at Aframat's final results that were out today. Thanks for joining us, Colin.
Thank you very much, and have a good evening.
Hot 102.7 Business with Michael Avery.